Good morning. The dog days of August. Here we are. Judge Cudahy and I want to welcome our esteemed colleague from Milwaukee, Judge Adelman, back.
Thank you.
I will call the case. Okay. 10-14-30 and 10-16-57, United States of America versus Robert George. So, Mr. Poor, come on up. How are you?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the Court. The Sia case teaches this fundamental, and that is being guilty of a conspiracy is not the same thing as being guilty of an attempt. They're two different crimes with different elements. Attempt requires more than mere preparation. It requires more than mere planning, more than mere talk. It requires a substantial step showing that the crime would have occurred had it not been for an interruption. And in drug cases in particular, as the Sia case teaches, that requires a substantial physical step. Here, George's attempt conviction cannot stand because though the government has provided ample evidence of a conspiracy, it provided no evidence of a substantial physical step to possess the cocaine.
As I understand it, Mr. George recruited, his brother Spaniola into the scheme and indeed vouched for the CI to Spaniola. In the end, it was Spaniola who showed up and attempted to commit the robbery. Under an aiding and abetting theory, why can't Mr. George's successful recruitment of Spaniola be viewed as a deliberate and material effect to aid the attempt to rob the stash house?
Well, Your Honor, and this is really the government's alternative theory, and that is even if assuming George did not, his actions did not constitute an attempt on their own, that he somehow aided and abetted Mr.
Why didn't he aid and abet? That seems to me the simple question.
He didn't aid and abet because there is no the crime of he's being accused of aiding and abetting an attempt. There was no attempt until the day of the robbery, July 12th.
Why does aiding and abetting have to be contemporaneous with the crime?
Because there must be, if it's aiding and abetting.
You assume that, but you don't cite any authority for it.
I think that to aid and abet an attempt requires that the first you establish that there's been some attempt. And here, there's no attempt until the morning of the robbery, that is, until Spagnola gets in Ringswald's car.
But Spagnola wouldn't have been there at all but for George's efforts to bring him into the scheme.
Well, here again, this goes back to planning, and it goes to what Mr. George did to help facilitate the conspiracy. I think this is all part of the conspiracy.
Planning can never be aiding and abetting. If something involves planning, it can't be aiding and abetting? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying categorically it could never be.
But why not here?
Because in this case, if we focus on the crime of attempt, which is really the critical piece here, and this is aiding and abetting, not a conspiracy or aiding and abetting some other crime, it's aiding and abetting attempt, which is in itself an inchoate type of crime, then you have to start with the fundamental.
Well, Spagnola wouldn't have attempted, and he's guilty of attempt. You can see that, I assume.
Well, George
yeah, he's brought into the picture by his brother, and he was with his, I guess, George was Spagnola when Spagnola obtained a gun. And he even George changed the plan of the robbery completely.
Well, all those, Your Honor, that still goes back to the planning, and all goes back to the conspiracy. There was plenty of talk, there was plenty of planning, and whether Mr. Spagnola got into the car with the informant, that's the physical step here. Before that, it's talk, it's planning. And if we're talking about aiding and abetting an attempt, then you first have to have the physical step. And there's no physical step until July 12.
And No. Bringing his brother in is a purposeful and material step in furtherance. Let me ask you this. Suppose that Judge Cudahy came to me one day and said, I want you to help me rob a bank. I've been waiting for that for years. And I say, fine. But we'll need a really good getaway driver. And I go out. I'm going to give you more than the 10 minutes, so don't worry. And I go out and I recruit Judge Edelman. And together, you know, we plan the robbery. Judge Edelman gets us a car to use for our escape. And the day of the robbery arrives. And Judge Edelman and Judge Cudahy show up. But I'm sick. And I tell them, you know, I just can't make it. I can't make it today. So they go ahead with the plan, and when Judge Cudahy demands money from the teller, a guard overpowers him and says, oh, you're Judge Cudahy. And no. And then the police nab Judge Edelman, who's waiting in the car outside. So they've both attempted to rob the bank. Haven't I aided and abetted their unsuccessful attempt by recruiting Judge Edelman as the driver? I knew about the crime. I intend to further it. And toward that end, I helped by arranging for the getaway driver. Judge Edelman wouldn't have been there but for my efforts. He would have been in Milwaukee. So why is that not aiding and abetting?
Well, it's not aiding and abetting, Your Honor, because the crime of aiding and abetting required something more than mere knowledge, mere association, and your encouragement.
But they're there.
But it depends upon how far you go back in the causal link. You'd be guilty of conspiracy, no doubt. You'd be part of a conspiracy. But did you do something more than have knowledge of the crime, have mere association? The test, as this court referred to in the Cologne case.
I ran it, for God's sakes.
But in this sense, there was no material help in terms of what you encouraged them to do something, but the mere recruitment is part of a conspiracy. It's not something that materially makes a difference as to whether they take the physical step of going to the bank. I mean, you can go back a lot of different causal steps, but the fact that you have encouraged them by the, in and of itself, I mean, that takes aiding and abetting.
In Judge Robner's hypothetical, she didn't commit any overt act that had anything to do with getting Judge Cudahy and I into the bank. That's why she wouldn't be guilty of aiding and abetting under that hypothetical, no?
That's correct, Your Honor. She did not do anything to facilitate, take any kind of material step to facilitate your getting in the car or Judge Cudahy going to up to the teller. She's guilty of conspiracy, to be sure. But if aiding and abetting, and this is, you know, there's not that many cases where you have aiding and abetting an attempt. There's lots
of aiding.
Are you saying that George's successful recruitment of an accomplice is not a deliberate and material act of helping the scheme succeed? Is that what you're saying?
But we're saying yes. We're saying it is not under the definition of aiding and abetting. If that requires a material step beyond mere knowledge,
what could be more material? It's not knowledge. I got him to go there.
Well,
doesn't there have to be some contemporaneous or relatively contemporaneous step? I mean, if you go back 6 months, if she got me 6 months before, is that aiding and abetting? I don't see how that could be.
I would agree, Your Honor, that it cannot be.
Where's the law that says that would not be aiding and abetting?
Yeah, that's what I find lacking.
It's just not there.
Well, I would.
I think it's a very close question.
I would recommend to the court that, first, there are very few aiding and abetting attempt cases out there, and so although there's many aiding and abetting cases, but when you aid and abet an attempt,
that's pretty abstract in the first place, isn't it? Aiding and abetting an attempt. I mean, you got to have a lot of logic before you get to the end of that one.
Well, and that's really the problem with the government's theory here, and it's really their backup theory, is that they really can't show a physical step by George to...
Sure you can. There's deliberate and material assistance.
Well, it depends upon how...
Because of the successful recruitment of Spaniola.
But then, Your Honor, any time anybody encouraged someone to commit a crime...
Encourages, you know, it would be so nice if you would do this. He didn't do that. He recruited him. He talked to this... You know, he convinced him that the CI was okay. I mean, he really set this guy into motion.
He did, and that's why he's guilty of conspiracy. But when we get... But
he's certainly guilty of a conspiracy, and everyone agrees with that.
I agree with that, but...
He's a, you know...
But here's... I guess I would just come back to this very... The fundamental is you can't go back... in terms of, you know, the causation, there has to be some proximity.
So you don't have to worry about going back in 6 months in this case. That's not this case.
But here's this is why timing is so important here, is that if what we're talking about is aiding and abetting the attempt, that requires the predicate physical step, and we have to ask ourselves, when did that first occur? There's no physical step until July 12, when Spagnola gets in Ringswall's car. Before that, the day before, let's say July 11, they had said, you know, both Spagnola and George said, we don't want to do this.
So
they'd be guilty of conspiracy. I don't think there's any way.
What did George have to do? He had to be there. Is that your
bottom line? He had to do something to materially make a difference in Ringswald's. We're talking about helping Spagnola get into Ringswald's car. That's what he had to do to aid and abet. And the fact that he had encouraged him weeks later, that's not what got Spagnola in Ringswald's car. He did that on his own.
I cannot agree that it's mere encouragement.
But it's a slippery slope then, because then if we're anybody who is talking to...
But even if it's recruitment, it's not an overt act, though, is it? And even assuming that Judge Robner's it's a recruitment, but that's not enough if it's...
And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about recruitment, and there's all kinds of different types of recruitment for, and in this case...
So recruitment can never be aiding and abetting an attempt?
It could, under some circumstances, it might. In this case...
Okay, give me one. Give me one or 12.
Okay. Let's say on the day that the robbery was to take place, July 12th, Spagnola calls up and says, I can't make it either. George calls up, and then we have evidence that George actually called Eddie, and there's no evidence that he ever called Eddie. Let's say he says, okay, you're going to be the substitute now, and George recruits Eddie to get in Ringswald's car. Now, that is a substantial...
He certainly tried to get Eddie, didn't he?
Well, we
don't...
It's very equivocal. I mean, if you're reading the transcript...
You're hanging your head entirely on timing, right?
Well, yes, and I think these...
No case law that I know of that says a damn thing about timing.
Well, this is one where the case law does say this. is that these are very fact-specific cases, and you have to, and I'm not surprised that there is no case law exactly like this, but I think the general principles apply here, and they apply, and I think this hypothetical really helps illuminate it, because if Spagnuolo had called and said, "I'm done, I don't want anything to do with this," and George then called up Eddie and said, "Hey, I really need you to get in Ringswald's car and do this," I think in that case, yes. But that's not what happened here. And that's why the timing really is so critical, because it all gets blurred, because then the conspiracy and the attempt get blurred and all these things.
But things are always blurred in the law.
That's why I would come back. I think
what
really
is
the
black letter law, I don't even
know. Really the SIA case really is the guiding point here, because that is a case that really is so close to what we've got here. Because SIA, we've got a drug dealer in SIA. I see my red light is on the
IP. No, that's okay. I told you you could.
In SIA, we have a drug dealer. He's got a co-conspirator. He's got his Spagnuolo, this guy who runs the jewelry shop. They've got this conspiracy. They're working with an informant, and he brags at the. That his co-conspirator can take the drugs, and he even talks to the informant. He's on his way to presumably buy the drugs, and he's arrested at that point. And in SIA, the court then drew the line. It said he's guilty of a conspiracy, but he had not taken a substantial physical step. And the same holds true here, because there is no physical step until that morning. And so to aid and abet, you have to aid and abet something. And you have to aid and abet, and the only something is the physical step of Spagnuolo getting in Ringswald's car on the 12th. Before that, had they decided the day before, we're done with this, there would have been a conspiracy.
Yeah, but when you look at SIA, I'm just looking, the evidence doesn't show that Hevia told Sia the actual location of the payphone from which he was calling so that they could meet there, only that it was near Sia's home. No specific location was designated. We do not even know which way Sia may have been headed from his home, toward the payphone or not. We do not know exactly where he was arrested in relationship to his home. We do not know if he had the money to complete the purchase and thereby obtain possession of the cocaine.
And I think Sia really went further than George did here. I mean, he
know where
left.
They were going, because they went.
Because George is staying put in a park 60 miles away.
Well, but the person that he put into the scheme was there with the government agent.
He encouraged, he recruited, whatever word we want to use. But I would submit that for the law of aiding and abetting to be that any time you recruit someone at some time that you're going to be guilty of aiding and abetting, that's stretching the law of aiding and abetting to the breaking point.
The jury was instructed here on aiding and abetting, were they not?
They were, Your Honor.
Is there anything wrong with the instruction?
We're not challenging the instructions.
Okay, I think...
Well, thank you. I appreciate the additional time, Your Honor. And
we really appreciate your wonderful work on this case.
Well, thank you. And if there's any time for rebuttal, that's up to you, Your Honor.
Of course there is. So how many more minutes did we give Mr. We gave him 8 more minutes. So we have to give the government 8 more minutes. Hate being fair.
Hopefully,
okay, come on up.
Okay.
Come
Thank
on
you,
up,
Honor.
Mr. King.
Good morning, Your Honors. In the light most favorable to the government, in light of the evidence, a reasonable jury could have found that the defendant, Spagnuolo, took a substantial step in committing the attempt. He went beyond the planning stage by the recruitment. And it isn't just talking, and which is the concern of many cases. He enlisted the support of an individual whom his self-styled avocation was committing drug house home invasions. Spagnola repeatedly describes it as, "It's my specialty." The defendant, George, describes him as the type of guy who does this. It isn't idle chatter when he gets and launches Spagnola into this. And as the evidence in this case shows, Spagnola was weary of getting involved with anyone. So the recruitment, which entailed vouching for the bona fides of the CI, that this is a person you can trust, and the vouching went both ways, not just as to the types and violence that Spagnola was capable of, but that the CI was indeed a reliable and a worthy partner. I believe Spagnola says, "It's so hard for me to find someone that I can rely on for this type of thing." By setting Spagnola in motion, he was setting forth a force which, if uninterrupted by law enforcement, had every likelihood to take place. He increased the risk by bringing him in.
Do you agree that the attempt took place when he got in the car on July 12th?
No, I believe the attempt could be earlier. Jury could find that.
When might the attempt have?
A reasonable jury could find on these facts that the recruitment and accompanying to get the weapon necessary to do that was a substantial step sufficient to complete the attempt, so that if they were arrested shortly after that point, the attempt would have been completed. And I think this court has so held in the Sanchez case, in which it was a conspiracy to commit kidnapping and an attempted kidnapping, the arrest took place without the actual event being imminent. They were still planning to get ready. And then the court found that the concrete actions of securing a safe house and attempting to enlist the aid of others who would assist was concrete actions sufficient to sustain the attempt.
Is that relevant?
You have to find that the substantial step is contemporaneous with the aiding and abetting in order.
No, I don't believe there's any case law that supports that it has to be contemporaneous with it. And as in Sanchez, the kidnapping was going to take place at some point in the future. It leaks weeks further because they needed additional weeks to obtain other items. So I think that stands. That's the only case law that seems to suggest it doesn't have to be contemporaneous.
Let me follow up on something that was discussed with Mr. Poor. And suppose that Spagnola, once he found out that George isn't going to show up, and before he ever got into the agent's car, said, "You know what? That's it. I'm out of this too." Would either of them be guilty of an attempt?
I believe their arrival at the scene with the weapons that were loaded necessary to commit the offense would a reasonable jury could have found that to have been a substantial step.
Even though he says, "Oh my God, what am I doing here? I've got to get out of this now."
That would be a determination that the jury would have to make, and I think in this case, the jury could have made that determination. An attempt isn't contingent upon the success of the venture.
Yeah.
It really, I believe the case law looks to something which shows that it really, but for the intervention of law enforcement, would have taken place.
See, I mean, like, what I'm worrying about is that if we agree with Mr. Poor, you could never have an aiding and abetting attempt where, like, for instance, the kingpin that morning says, "I'm just going to sit here in the park." regardless of what, you know, the kingpin has done. So that does worry me.
I think that's precisely why his position is one you should reject. In any case in which there's a puppeteer directing other individuals, whether it be to take the greater risk of traveling to the site where the contraband is located, or sending a bomber across town into a building and attempting to maintain plausible deniability or attempting to...
But the puppeteer then would still be guilty of conspiracy, no? Those facts?
He would be, but he'd also be guilty
of... What's the difference? They can't be the same. So what's the difference between aiding and abetting an attempt and a conspiracy?
Well, the conspiracy speaks to an agreement, as opposed to the aiding and abetting in which the defendant is actively seeking to help accomplish the goal or to aid and abet the person to do it. And as this court's noted, they can coexist. They're not mutually exclusive. They're not identical, but many facts that would support a conspiracy would support the intent, if you will, of the defendant to make sure that this crime occur. If he decides he doesn't at the last minute want to take the risk and engage in gunplay, or he'd rather have his brothers do it.
You agree that George has to commit an overt act in order to be guilty, right? He has to be guilty. He has to commit some overt act more than talk and planning, right?
A substantial step to commit the attempt.
What step did he take here?
In the substantive attempt, the recruitment, the accompanying to get the weapon would constitute substantial steps. Because
what about this Buffington case, though, that says that when the defendants obtained weapons and drove by the bank, that wasn't enough to prove attempted bank robbery? And that was the same day.
And the Ninth Circuit decided in reviewing that they did not feel it's enough. But as this court's noted, what might be mere preparation in one case does not mean that it's going to be mere preparation in another. What's mere preparation in one case can be a substantial step in another.
And so Buffington, the fact that George was with Spagnola 2 weeks or 10 days before this was supposed to happen, when Spagnola bought a gun, and it's not alleged that George did anything other than possibly accompany him, that's enough to make George guilty of an attempt here?
It's one of the overt acts the jury could reasonably rely on in the context of the case. And it's the context which gives these acts real meaning. He is taking ownership of it in the sense that when the CI asks or inquires, where are we in the planning? Do we have the weapons? The defendant, not as a mere participant or a mere bystander, says, I'm with him. I'm with Spagnola when we acquired one of the weapons. In the same conversation, on his own, George, when Spagnola is unavailable because he has multiple phones, George reaches out and confirms, do you have 22 longs, which is the specific caliber and the bullet for the particular gun they obtained at that event. By accompanying him, what we're suggesting is it goes beyond mere talk to emboldening these individuals by assisting them and giving them the impetus that he's launching them. As he might launch a torpedo, he could die at the next point and that crime could be committed. He is by putting these forces together, and at any point in which they become a little concerned.
So you're saying attempting then is launching? That's your definition?
No, I'm not suggesting that is used as a substitute for attempting. But I'm saying in this context, where they put those individuals together, knowing the type of individuals that they were, and helping them obtain the tools necessary, and ensuring, and in the conversation in which he's describing making sure that the weapons are there, he is reaffirming and reminding his brother, George, it's Thursday. You've got to be armed. You've got to be sure. So it isn't just bar talk, if you will. They're He is actually the,
so
these words
the
have some gravity.
So when does the attempt start? You tell me exactly when is that? When does the attempt? When is the attempt commenced? And under your theory, because you're saying George is guilty because he aided and abetted an attempt. So when was the attempt?
Are you asking me about the substantive attempt or the aiding and abetting?
No, the attempt, the substantive attempt.
When the very first possible moment that a jury could reasonably rely on is the recruitment. When the informant comes to George and says, I'm looking for a Latin king by the name of Corpino. Why? Because I need him to help me commit a drug robbery. Forget Corpino. My family and I, we do this sort of things. Let me, and then at that point launches on.
So the recruitment could be an attempt?
Yes. In this particular fact pattern, it could be. But it isn't just the substantive attempt. The aiding and abetting in this case, this defendant, aside from the recruiting, the planning, the modifying it, kill the witness, it's easier for everybody, the reassurance when people have problems, if you look to his post-arrest statement, as the jury likely would, the defendant's post-arrest statement is, I made the arrangements. I planned. And when I couldn't be there, I made arrangements for a substitute to be there. I made arrangements. That's what he said. The jury's entitled to rely on this. He went on to describe that I'm aware my other brother, John, was present, in effect taking his place, at the scene of the robbery, and that he was armed. We know from the evidence, and the jury had...
Who was the substitute? Are you talking about Eddie?
In addition to talking about Eddie, ultimately, George and Spagnuolo are half-brothers. They have yet another brother by the name of John. Ultimately, in the discussions, and there were multiple discussions on the day of the robbery, when it became clear that George couldn't arrive, he suggested an individual, Eddie, take his place and discussed his bona fides. He discussed it with the CI.
He got rejected.
Okay. He discussed it with Spagnuolo. But after that, despite Eddie, the first choice being rejected, we know, and the jury knew, that George was replaced by yet another brother, John. And we know that there's discussion about it between there, aside from the post-arrest statement.
Is there any evidence that George produced a substitute that was actually...
There's no direct evidence that he actually produced the substitute other than his statement that I arranged for someone to take my place. And in the course of the robbery, when they are traveling from Bridgeport out to the scene where the staging was going to take place, the jury was entitled to consider the phone conversation between George and Spagnuolo. And in that conversation, the defendant, Spagnuolo, is telling George, my brother, referring to John, yes, I've talked to him. I'm riding out there now. Yes, I'm always careful. And then he goes on to discuss later, we're going to stop by my brother's, referring to John's place. Bob, referring to the defendant, stopped by my brother's guy's house, and then describes him by his physical infirmity. That evidence is consistent with the jury finding that the defendant helped supply the replacement. It's consistent with the conversations that had to have taken place that were outside the presence of the CI between Spagnuolo and George, in which they discussed who would actually do it, and because of the details, they knew exactly how that it would be John, and he's inviting Bob to stop by later. But the jury really could rely on the defendant's own statement. I made arrangements. Just as it's, I know that John's armed. There's nothing in the recorded conversations that would let George know that, but for his relationship and conversations and planning and efforts to supply a substitute with Spagnuolo. Aside from that, Spagnuolo makes clear in his post-arrest statement, my brother John was there to back me up. He was armed. So there's no question that John was there, John was the substitute, and that George and Spagnola had conversations about providing a substitute. So when a jury makes the determination he made a substantial step, they can look at that, just as they can look at, I made arrangements to dispose of the 5 kilos when there's some hesitation that he might not be able to be present. His efforts to encourage them, his efforts to tell them to be careful, just as he had when he first suspected that the undercover courier was a police officer, his efforts were to encourage them to go forward. It wasn't on the day where he was unavoidably detained. He said, look, let's put it off till another week. Don't do it. Don't go forward with it. No, go ahead. Here's substitutes. I can still get rid of the dope, and call me, and then makes efforts to do that. All of these facts, in addition to his efforts prior to that day of recruitment, planning, modifying, reassuring these people, is certainly sufficient for a jury to find that he assisted or encouraged, and certainly that he wanted this event to succeed, even if he was either unavoidably detained or he decided he wanted to let his brother take the actual risk of being shot in whatever gunplay.
Changing the plan, was that a aiding and abetting?
It is. Changing the plan specifically that they should rob the courier rather than the stash house because the safety margin was greater, because in a stash house they couldn't calculate how many individuals might be armed, and really 30 kilos was plenty for all of them to have. In light of the evidence, I think a reasonable jury could have found that he both aided and abetted as well as made a substantial step. But in either event, the evidence is sufficient, and we'd ask that you affirm the conviction and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come on up for rebuttal. You asked, I think, for 2 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. When we're talking about attempt, we say it happens on the day of the robbery. The government has a theory that they can push the clock way back to the time that George accompanies Spagnola to get the gun. And I want to just point out in the record, this is at document 194-1 at page 74. This is the exchange. The CI says, your brother got pistols, right? I mean, he got at least a couple pistols we can use. George says, my cousin gave him one when we were down there last week. The CI says, all right. That's the extent of the supposed going to help him get the gun. Now, I would submit that there's no case law that would support that this is an attempt. Merely buying a weapon is not an attempt.
You know, what you're doing is you're parsing out, you know, these things. You have to look at the whole picture, not just one little part of the picture.
Oh, I agree. I agree you have to look at the whole picture. But I think at the same time we have to be very careful in a case like this not to let conspiracy evidence get blurred with the attempt evidence. And I think that's really, and that's why we've tried to be very careful and particular not to let that happen, because in this case we are, the government is pushing a theory that says anytime a conspirator vouches for or recruits a co-conspirator, well, that's going to lead to aiding and abetting an attempt for whatever happens down the road. And I would emphasize that's never been the law, and the law of aiding and abetting is being pushed in a direction that it's never been pushed before with this case. And we're in a very slippery slope when we're going to start saying any garden variety co-conspirator who vouches, or even recruits, is therefore going to be aiding and abetting anything that happens with a co-conspirator.
Doesn't make any difference in the sentence, does it?
Well, he was convicted of conspiracy and received 216 months on that, and then also on the attempt the same amount. As we pointed out in the Sia case, the court said prudence and fairness says if you take out the attempt, decouple the attempt from the conspiracy, that prudence and fairness would warrant a resentencing without the attempt. So I thank Your Honors.
So I want to thank everyone. Mr. Poor, you and Ms. Krikow have the, I believe that.
Yes.
Have the really deep thanks of the court for taking on this project, being forced to take on this project, taking this on and doing such a stellar job for your client. Thank you very much.
We're glad to be of service, Your Honor.
As always, the U.S. Attorney's Office has the thanks of the court for their fine representation.